You're listening to Not the Sermon with Eric and Jamie.
Eric, I have a question for you.
What? What, Jamie?
That sigh.
Start the podcast.
That sigh.
Eric.
Anyways, listeners, you have to know that Jamie just got onto us about talking over each other on the podcast.
And we don't ever do that.
No. Yeah, we're bad at it, man. I listen to other podcasts, and there's some crosstalk, but not like we do. We're really bad at it.
Other podcasts don't have chiseled thighs like we have.
That's true.
Yeah,
everyone's
focused on the jaw.
That's why we haven't recorded the video yet, listener, because we feel like it'd be a distraction from our voices.
Yeah, yeah, definitely my thighs. The translucent nature of the skin.
Yes.
You can see the blood.
He's like Schmeagle.
No, I do have a question for you, Eric.
Okay.
So this morning I'm coming in to the church and I'm knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. You saw me walking up to the door and you just kept walking.
Yeah.
You weren't even going to help me or anything, even though I had my laptop and stuff in my hand. I had to knock on the door and it still took a couple seconds before it registered and you came and opened the door for me.
You know why?
What's up with that, man?
Yeah, because no one helped me get in the church this morning.
It's due unto others as has been done unto me.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. Cool. No one helped me in the church this morning, and I was like, "He's got a key," so I kept walking. I saw you pull up.
Yeah.
Also, you were late, so I figured.
Okay. So I just listener, you need to know something. This is our 24th episode, plus a couple of interview episodes. I just found out this morning. I thought that our start time was 9:15,
mm-hmm.
and I just found out that it's 9.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been 9 since the beginning.
Since the start, yeah.
And I think the idea that you actually originally pitched was we get here at 9, we spend about 15 minutes in prep, and then we start recording at 9:15.
Oh, yeah. So that's okay.
So at some point in time. And me and Phoenix just assumed that he was just doing the whole lead pastor thing, was just going to show up when he wanted to.
Man of God does what he wants.
Yeah, and so we just never questioned it. He's like, "Why didn't you say anything?" I'm like, "Well, you're the lead pastor.
Yeah,
what am I gonna do?"
This whole time we've been recording since last like August.
Yeah,
and well, you didn't say anything.
You were here on time for half of it. It's just
by accident.
It's just like recently. You know, it's just been recently. Is everything okay at home, Jamie?
Yeah. It's great. That's why I'm always late.
Hey, so listeners, I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners who made me and Jamie these really awesome cups.
Yes.
I'm drinking out of it this
morning.
But
not me.
Yeah, not Phoenix. Well, y'all got coffee last week and left me out. So how's it feel, Phoenix?
Which you never asked me why I only. You just assumed why I got Phoenix coffee and not you. Do you want to know why I got him coffee?
Because you were trying to sow division.
No, because I had to buy one, get one. And I was running early. I was here at 8:30. I knew he'd be here, and I knew you wouldn't be here yet.
Am I not your get
Ooh.
One?
It was just a logical decision.
Jamie, am I not your get one?
No, you're not.
Wow.
I'm his armor bearer.
Look,
now.
You're my buy one.
Friends, they are not your buy one if you are not their get one. Okay.
Ooh.
Come on, that's relationship advice.
Say that louder for the ones in the back.
For the single ladies. But anyways, I have a cup here, and it has
a tumbler.
Yeah, it's a tumbler. It has a nice print of the Taj Mahal, and it has a quote from our India podcast that says, "You and I remember India very differently." And yeah. So, shout out to our listener that made us those awesome.
That's
cups.
Amazing. Yeah. I got one too, and that's my favorite new Tumblr.
Little merch. And a quick shout out again. So, I was just going back and looking at just some of the stats, and we have listeners in 48 states.
Yeah, that's great.
For some reason, I don't know what it's the two states that are close to Canada that are really big, maybe Montana or something. No listeners there.
Because there's no one in Montana.
Probably. There's like 5,000 people in Montana.
Yeah, no listeners there. But then we also have a lot of listeners like in Europe.
Yeah.
And so shout out to our listeners in UK and Germany. Ireland, got a lot of listeners in Ireland and Australia, New Zealand. So you guys are, hey, if you are from another country, we've got a message from a Canadian listener. So shout out Canada. But if you're like from Europe or somewhere that's not the US, shoot us an email. Tell us where you're from.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Great. And you know what? I don't think people are actually listening in all these states. I think there's one guy listening and he's crossing from state to state.
There's a truck driver.
Yeah, there's a truck driver.
Hey, they listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
That's our type of listener right there. Sermonaut, beer belly, scratching lottos on the open road.
On the open road. Speaking of the open road, dude, did I tell you my oldest son just got a Corvette?
A Corvette, yeah.
What?
I saw it.
Dude, so my oldest son, Ethan, he's 24, he's recently married, and he got a good job. They have no expenses. Like his wife is in school and they have housing for free. Nice. And so, like, literally no utilities, no rent. He had an old car that was paid for, 250,000 miles on it. She was like, "Dad, I'm thinking about getting this." It's like a collector's 2004 Corvette.
Yep.
Nice.
Really nice.
Convertible, so nice. And he was like, "Dad, I'm thinking about getting this. I've always wanted one." I'm like, "Dude, this is the time to get it. Like, you have the most freedom you'll ever have. Mm-hmm. Even though you have the least amount of money you'll ever have, like, this is it."
Yeah, it's either now or in your 60s.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he got it, and he was down for Easter last weekend, and I got to drive it. And, man, dude, yeah. That thing flies.
He'll have it. So he'll have it the rest of his life for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so.
I mean, it's definitely a collector's car. But, yeah, it definitely screams I'm a married engineer with no kids.
Right. So. Right. Or when you're 65, I'm a divorced, retired engineer.
Yes, with no kids in the house. Yeah, that's exactly right. No, it was really sweet. I saw it. It was cool.
Yeah, it's really
stick
nice.
Stick shift too.
Really nice.
All fast and furious.
Yeah. We got it going pretty fast and furious. I will not tell anyone publicly how fast we got it going. But
that's where those burn marks in your backyard are from.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I love cars, but I'm more of a truck guy. I don't know. I saw another one of our friends got a really cool sort of, like, to me, collector's edition truck. It's a 06 F-250.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a 350.
A 350, that's right. Yeah, it's an F-350. Man, that thing is sick. So, like, the Corvette's cool, but then I see the truck and I'm like, I want to hear her.
I know what I like, but I don't like, I'm not a gearhead, so I don't know all the words. Because, like, my son or the guy that got in the truck, they're all like, "All right, so you need to understand, you've got a dual exhaust manifold here, and it's got a Kawasaki double triple 340 on it." And
so
I'm
it's
like,
a moped.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Or a lawnmower. Yeah. Anything you described could have been a lawnmower.
Kawasaki. I have no idea what it means. Yeah. None whatsoever.
Me neither. I just drive them.
Yeah.
Make sure they look nice and clean.
That's what it's all about, being seen, isn't it, Eric?
Yeah, you just want to be seen out on the wide open road. You know, sometimes I just like to get out. I have a little classic 1972 F-150. I got a poodle named Charisse, and I'll put her in the back of the car or the truck, and we'll just drive downtown on the bricks, and I'll wave. I do my little princess wave. A prince wave to everyone, and Charisse just gets a kick, and then we pull through the Starbucks and get her a pup cup. It's the cutest thing.
Hey, do you... That just made me think, like, what would happen if we drove through Starbucks and just ordered a pup cup for us? Would they give us one?
They'd be looking for the dog.
You would know who the ugliest one is. They'd give it to the dog.
Oh.
All right, Sermonauts, we're going into a new-ish segment that we haven't done in a while. And it's called "Oh My, Your Greek Is Showing."
Yeah, it's the worst. This is the worst. Like, we should have done "It's All Greek" to me.
Yeah, I like "Your Greek Is Showing."
Yeah,
which one of y'all came up with that,
Eric?
I said it to Jamie one day. We were talking about something,
and I was sharing a Greek word.
And I was like, "Oh, Jamie, your Greek is showing."
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the idea is that we take a word from the Greek, which would be probably, you know, the New Testament. Sometimes when the words are translated into English, you know, sometimes they lose some of their meaning.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe there's multiple definitions that kind of embody this one single Greek word.
Yeah.
And when you look at it from a different perspective, it opens up that passage of scripture a little bit more. And so, we take Greek words and, we show them to you.
Yeah. So here's the one I thought about for today. We just had Easter at the time of this recording. Easter Resurrection Sunday was the last Sunday that we had. And so I've shared about this on Easter before. I didn't this time, but there's a Greek word called tetelestai.
Oh, bless you.
And it's translated, interestingly, it's translated three words. It is finished. Golly.
Sorry, that was an accident.
Oh, my gosh.
Your demon is showing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, it's translated, "It is finished," and it's what Jesus said on the cross, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of the final sayings that he said. But it's just one word, tetelestai, and here's what we've learned is that in first century culture, it was often used as what would be written on a receipt saying paid in full. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like nothing is owed anymore. So it was like a transactional business word. And so Jesus says to Telestai, or it's a version of that, on the cross, and he's saying, hey, it's paid in full. It's finished. But it's not just it's finished as in it's completed, but there is a payment idea that's lost in translation. So it's a really cool word to Telestai. And this is silly, but in order to memorize words like this, I think of silly stuff. And so I imagine there's a kid named Ty, and he's talking in his third grade class while the teacher's talking. And the teacher says, hey, do you have something to Telestai?
Ah,
I know. It's
good
dumb.
One. That is silly.
It's dumb.
It's very silly.
But it's how I remember
very
it.
Very unremarkable. Yes.
Very unremarkable. Well, but here's the thing. I mean, you, the listener, y'all will remember it.
I remember it.
What is the word we're talking about?
I don't know. I forgot. So anyway, but yeah, that's what it means. And so it really opens up the whole conversation about atonement, which we haven't talked about a whole lot on the podcast.
We haven't. We should do a segment on it one day.
Yeah, or we could just keep talking right now.
I read something very interesting about the crucifixion story this past week. And the, you know, what's often translated, and y'all may know this, like a sour wine. I was like, sour wine, what does that mean? They would mix a concoction into wine that was almost like a kind of like a painkiller type thing, or like a not a psychedelic, but like a drug, basically, to make it a little bit more bearable.
Absolutely, it was a painkiller.
Jesus tasted it and realized what it was. He spit it out because he realized he had to fully experience what he was going through.
Right, and that's one of the messianic prophecies that had been spoken. Yeah. You know, a long time before.
Also, that was pretty straight edge of you, Jesus. You know, like the straight edge movement where they don't even take painkillers.
Yeah, they were like getting all mixed up with the Christians in 2000s metal music.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was that? What was no Advil, Christianity, and metal music doing in the same room?
I know. It was crazy. It was like there were a bunch of these Christian bands that were like making waves, and then all of a sudden there was like, well, we're not Christian, we're straight edge.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? Said, well, it means we act like we're Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not Christian necessarily.
Well, that's where I first heard about it was in Christian circles. So like youth group kids, straight edge. Like, straight hey, you want an Advil? No, I'm straight edge. Like, dog, what does that mean? Well, I don't take any painkillers or any medications at all. And I'm like, you want an Advil? Like, is this I'm taking Advil.
You have no problems in your life.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, yeah, life's been pretty easy.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's funny. But no, that's interesting. That the idea of it being finished, that does add a new degree of thought, because it's not just the idea that Jesus himself was like, okay, I'm done. But it more translates the work of the cross into the believer.
I mean, this is not the only instance where there's an idea that everything is fully finished. The cross of Christ was a finished work and did everything necessary for redemption. There are a lot of other words that are used, like when Paul says you were bought at a price, which is commonly, you know, it can be translated redeemed. There's another one that means to pay a ransom and set something free that Peter uses. There's actually one, ex agorazo, which is to acquire something.
That sounded Catholic.
I know, right? It was just Greek. And it's to acquire something and use it for a new purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've used the example of like baking soda. Like, you don't just use it to bake, but you'll put it in your fridge to keep it smelling fresh or whatever.
Yeah, I put it in my socks.
Yeah, I put it in your face. And
put it in my socks to keep the smell away.
But the idea is that we're not just redeemed from something, but redeemed to something.
Mm.
And that the cross completed all that. Now, we have to come into agreement with that, right? I mean, we have a role to play. It's grace and faith.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the reformers, they're so grace-oriented. Grace, it's by, you know, grace alone, grace alone, grace alone.
Yeah.
And the Bible's like, well, no, it's faith alone, you know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go for it.
Well, no, I was, one of my issues with, like, is, like, with, like, Protestant or whatever, you know, evangelical, is that we go through, like, sort of grammatical loops to try to, like, even you just said, we come into agreement with.
Right.
Like, what's bad about saying, like, there is something necessary on your part to accomplish the salvation? We're so, like, by grace alone that, you know, that I feel like that can be paralyzing, because we're like, well, anything that I do is not of God, because it has to all be God. And I get the idea of wanting to glorify God and be like, well, God's all powerful. But you can give God the credit for your action as well.
Right, right.
Like, I'm not going to, if I had to jump in front of, you know, something to save my wife or whatever. Like, I'm doing it for her. Like, I'm giving her the credit for my action.
Right.
And so I feel like we go through like these grammatical and theological loops to say that we don't bring anything to the table when it comes to our salvation. We don't bring anything that matters salvifically.
Right.
But it does take, as you said, us coming to agreement. It does, like, faith.
Right.
And it does also take, like, you working out your salvation to prove that you're saved.
That's
but
right.
That's not the causation. It's a result of, you know, so.
Well, it's the messy middle in between. On one side, like the reformers, the Calvinists who are like, you can do absolutely nothing, right?
Yeah.
And if you, even sometimes I'll hear them say, we'll talk about, well, you have to have faith. They're like, no, that's a work. No, it's not. Faith and works are separate. They're different words. Mm. They're used in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It's grace, faith, and works are three separate things. Faith is not a work. So to exercise your faith or come into agreement with, or however you want to word it, is not a work. What Paul is saying in that passage is like, you can't earn.
Yeah.
You can't earn. But it's like Dallas Willard said, God is not against...
He's not opposed to...
To effort.
To effort. He's opposed to earning.
Exactly.
And that's where I think, like the spiritual health of the Western church is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
Just to be honest.
I agree.
As far as, like, spiritual weakness and
right.
sickness. And I think some of that results from... You know, the West, our evangelical church, saying that, you know, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You just got to get saved. You make a decision today, you're saved. And I'm like, yeah, maybe like positionally you're going to heaven, but like you're not like experiencing salvation when
right,
you think the extent of your role is just to say yes to God. That's like, I saw someone post on, it may have been you, so maybe I saw someone post something like, you know, we had 35 people say yes to Jesus this weekend.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
Okay, I thank God, because I saw that and I cringed. I'm like, they said yes to Jesus? Do you
right.
know how many people say yes to Jesus
right.
but then defy him with their backs turned to him?
Right, because ultimately obedience is the response that the Lord's looking
but,
for.
Like,
it starts with a yes, but it's evidenced by obedience. It's evidenced by, that's why James says faith without works is dead.
And salvation is holistic. Salvation is not only saying yes to Jesus, salvation is perseverance as well.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why the language is so confusing. It's like, You will be saved if you persevere to the end.
Right.
And
right.
then you say, well, to those who are saints, you know, like the language that Paul uses, it's holistic. And so
right.
salvation isn't just the process by which you agree with God about your salvation, which is a weird way of saying it. I agree with God that I'm saved. But it's also the process by which you persevere in. How do you know you're saved? You made it to the end.
Well, it's because, and this is what happens in marriages. In the Protestant church, evangelical church, there's an overemphasis on the first response to salvation and an underemphasis on maintaining the relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the same with our marriages. There's an overemphasis on the wedding. You spend gobs of money. You plan for months and months on the wedding day, and then people don't invest in their marriage. And they're
yep.
wondering why the relationship's not good.
It's not a one-time purchase kind of deal.
Exactly. And salvation has a beginning point, but ultimately, it's a relationship that is maintained over time. You're exactly right. And that's where sanctification and growth comes. And so yeah, those are the two extremes. Like, one is a works-based mentality where you're trying to earn your salvation. Then the other one, though, is like an overcorrection of that, where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, Jesus paid it all, and therefore I don't do anything. I can just sit on the sofa, watch TV, and go to heaven one day.
Sure.
It's not a relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a wedding and then immediately say, oh, we had a successful marriage.
Right, right.
Like, no, you had a great wedding.
You had a good wedding. Yep.
You know, and that's how I feel like a lot of, like, evangelicals feel about, like, their faith in the Lord, and that's why, like, the same people that will complain about the state of the church are also pushing this, we had 37 people agree with Jesus this morning. Like,
right.
Well, the state of the church. And I'm like, well, you're perpetrating that through the language that you use.
Yeah.
You're not encouraging these people to disciple themselves or to disciple under Jesus and follow the way of Jesus and you know, allow God to shape them into the person that
right.
God wants them to be. You're just saying, okay, you did good. You said yes. That's all we require of you.
Right, right, right.
That's not what Paul taught.
100%. 100%. And we keep up with first-time decisions here and we celebrate them. But the church, all of our programming is not geared towards decisions. All of our programming is geared towards discipleship,
yeah.
growing people up, creating healthy Christians. There's got to be a time where you do say yes, But then that's just the beginning. That's mm-hmm. not the end. It's not over. It's just started. And yeah, that's where the church really needs to step it up, is begin to say, hey, look, you made a decision. You got married. That's great. You had a wedding. But now let us show you how to have a healthy relationship moving forward. And but recognize that tetelestai, when Jesus said it is finished, that was the beginning of all of it. That's how it all started. So praise the Lord. Praise be. All right, Sermonauts, we're going to our next segment here. If you don't know this, Eric and I, and Phoenix as well, we enjoy memes. We enjoy a good meme, whether it's just a picture or a video, a reel. And so
It's not pronounced Mimi.
It was Maymay.
Maymay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some freshly procured.
It may be pronounced Mimi.
Gotta watch me whip.
All right. I'm
watch me Maymay.
So bad.
I need a sound that just ends that.
Wah, 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 wah. Sad trombone.
I think I have one somewhere.
Do you have a sad trombone?
Yep.
There it is.
That was almost the exact same key that you just did it in, too. That's perfect.
Anyway, so we love memes. We've only done this segment once before. Yeah. And it's called So Help Meme God.
Yep.
And so this is where the first one came from a listener. And this one, I asked Eric to pick out a Christian meme.
Yeah.
And we could discuss it. So would you go ahead and maybe set this one up and play it for us?
Sure. And if you have issue with extreme profanity or references to polyamorous relationships, I would go ahead and turn this one down. I'm just kidding. Not at all. All right. Here we go. So to preface this real quick, because you guys can't see it. It is a woman that is on a praise gospel team.
Okay.
And she's in the middle of like a spontaneous song.
Yeah. And so, these are the best, the spontaneous ones.
Yes. And so sometimes like spontaneous songs are some of the most like Christ empowered, spirit empowered moments in worship.
Powerful.
Other times they get a little weird, especially when people get a little too personal.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go ahead and play the meme. I want you guys to listen carefully to this woman's testimony, I guess.
All right, oh, Lord, nothing I did, nothing I tried, nothing I smoked, nothing I snorted, nothing I drank, no man I did, no one did me, nothing did me any good. Oh, Lord, even that food, the food I put in my mouth wouldn't help me, Lord.
And that food.
Wow. Nothing I did, nothing I snorted.
Yeah, nothing I smoked, no man I did, nothing
goodness.
Did me lost. And then that food.
No, I could sing that one right there. That was I haven't snorted anything, but I've definitely crammed some food down the gullet.
So let's debrief for a second, because you're looking at, like, on the meme, you see the backup singers, and they're like, whoa.
They're like, oh, go, okay, here we go.
Deep there, right? And so I think there's those moments where, like, I mean, obviously she was passionate about what the Lord brought her out of, but I think it's also like, know your space.
Sure.
Know the moment, know your audience. And she just went on for it like, nothing I drank, nothing I smoked, nothing I snorted. And I'm like, dang, sister. This is a party animal.
Dude,
like,
I guarantee you that they knew there was a possibility this would happen.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like sister,
every team has one.
Yeah, like sister so and so. They're like, look, we're gonna give her the solo. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't know what's gonna happen. They warned the tech team. Like, look, just so you know.
They streamed it.
Yeah, they did. I was about to say, go ahead and kill the live.
Yeah, that's a dangerous proposition.
What it reminded me of is I call these like testimony contests.
Yeah,
I've talked
about
these before. Like sometimes if you, like I very rarely do testimony nights for this reason. Because the first, in student ministry, the first kid will get up and they'll be like, yeah, I just, you know, wouldn't read my Bible and, mm-hmm. you know, wasn't really paying attention to God. But Lord, he saved me and now I'm doing good. And then the next kid's
he got one up him.
And the next kid's like, well, you know, I used to smoke a little weed.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, I'd go to parties occasionally, but the Lord set me free of that. And by the end of it, 10 or 12 kids deep, I was running heroin between my toes. And I used to take cigarettes and put them in my ears and light them.
But then an angel walked in the room.
An angel appeared to me and radically saved me. And so it kind of seems like kind of like a little one-upmanship, but hers was real, especially when she's started talking about the food.
Yeah,
because she's a larger woman on the stage singing, but that was personal. That was the food. It wasn't just the food.
Because she paused on it.
Food. It was like, man, that girl loves some food.
Well, yeah, for sure. Well, that's the thing. Like I love spontaneous worship.
Yeah,
like I do, but it does. You have to, if you are the leader. And you're doing spontaneous worship, like you've got to kind of have a plan at least as to,
because
if you start telling your business in the middle of worship, like if I were at that church, I'd have my hands raised. I'd be like just enjoying the Lord. And then all of a sudden, like one eye would just kind of open slightly. Like, wait, what? What? And then by the time she got snorted,
I would have lost it.
I'd have been like, and I'm done.
Well, there's certain people at the church that when things are happening that, like in during worship or Friday Night Fire when things are a little bit more charismatic, like there's two people I can't make eye contact with or I'll lose it.
Why? Because they don't enjoy it.
No. Because we'll be giggling. Mm. Like if someone's like making a strange noise or something.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
And I'll look at them and then we lose it and I can't get back to reality. But let me ask you this: so have you ever? Because this reminds me of like sort of not hot mic situations, but situations in which you gave the wrong person the mic.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, so have you had any of those where you're like, oh, I kind of really wish I didn't do that? Or at least had it. I've handed the mic to people where I was like, oh, my gosh, I should have held on to it.
Yeah. No, yes, for various reasons, there have been times I wish I had not given the mic to someone else. Yes. And the most common reason is they're going on too long.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and you can hear, like, someone will start sharing a testimony. And like it's good, like God's on it.
Sure.
You can just like this is it. But then they talk past the Lord. They talk past the moment.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, like we need to wrap this up.
My favorite are let me go ahead and air out the details of my divorce.
Yeah, that's happened too.
I've been in situations, maybe here, but I've been definitely in other places where someone gets the mic and they're like, you know, the Lord was just ministering to me over there, and. Right now, I'm just going through a really hard time. And when someone says that, I'm like, oh gosh. Like, yeah, I'm going through a divorce. And that man, you know, and just starts going into.
I won't say his name, but y'all know him.
Yeah, they start going into, like, details. And, like, there were times where I felt threatened.
Mm-hmm.
I felt threatened. He raised his fist. And mm-hmm. like, you just, I, like. I,
and he's
you,
sitting over there.
Yeah, it's like, great. You just slandered that dude in front of the whole church.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, especially in a small city. Like, we're in a small town. And when you're live streaming, I mean, it's global, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's recorded. People can play it back.
Yeah.
People can screen capture it.
And then she's like, we never made love. And you're like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those are awkward.
And when that starts happening. So I've seen a lot of people, this is why they just don't allow other people to talk. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that's okay because of biblical instruction that two or three should share. But I have been known, especially if it's someone that kind of goes on a while for a long time, I'll hold the mic for them.
Firm grip on the mic.
Yeah. And just be like, okay, I'm going to hold the mic for you.
I've even had people when I hold it, they'll like crack. And I'm like, no, I got it.
I got this. I got this one, brother. Yeah. You just talk.
Because you never know how you're going to have to like. Hit that exit ramp real quick and just be like, man, wasn't that the Lord anyways?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so hard when you're in a worship service to bring it back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, you give someone a mic and they're like, I ain't gay no more. And you're like,
delivered.
And you're like, oh gosh. Like now like we're done, right?
Yeah, dude, I know a ministry that used to play that video during their like at their Bible college, like during prayer.
No.
Oh yeah, they would play that and then people would go nuts.
So, like, listener, if you don't know what we're referring to, there is a video where a guy gives a testimony, says, I ain't gay no more.
I haven't seen this.
Really?
No.
Yeah, he goes, I ain't gay no more. He goes, I don't like men's. I like women's. Women.
I won't carry a purse.
I won't carry a purse. And it's sad because it seems like he's just performing. Now, he says, even today, several years later, he's like, I'm delivered. I'm free from that. I haven't gone back to that lifestyle, which is great.
Yeah. And he's like, I had a date with a woman's good, is what he says.
And, oh my
god! They made
gosh.
A remix, a Campbell's Soup remix. So here's a quick snippet of that, if it'll pull
oh,
up.
Oh boy.
Oh, it's on TikTok.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered. I don't like men no more. I said I like women. Women. I said women.
What?
I'm not gay. I would not date a man. I would not carry a purse.
I'm getting fired up right now.
I will.
Love.
A woman.
I'm about to run through a wall right now. But no, they would play that during their prayer meeting to get people fired up. And I was like, I don't think that's what that's for.
Well, there's so like if you get a big group of people, there's always going to be a few that are seeking attention.
Sure.
And they'll do anything to get it. And so they see an opportunity with an open mic. It's obviously going to, it's like a moth to a flame.
Well, that's why.
Which is why you guys do a great job of filtering that, I feel.
Well, we'll do two things.
You have to.
I'll say, first of all, if you feel like you're called to share. Eric, what are you giving me hand gestures? What are you doing?
I was telling
right
you
now?
We're at 10 minutes in this segment.
Okay, cool.
And this will be the closing thought. Okay, so now you know the insider thought. Works, listener.
So we usually tell them two things. First of all, don't tell us your life story. Tell us what God did tonight, right? During tonight's service. If you received a touch from him or healing or whatever, share what he did tonight. Don't start back, you know, well I was born in the deep southeast. You know, I mean, don't start that. So yeah, anyway, that's what
we
do.
You had two things.
I know, and I can't remember it.
I know. I'll say, have you ever been juked? Like they tell you one thing, and then they get up and
they
you're
say
like,
something different.
Oh man!
And what they tell you they were going to say was great.
Yes.
And then they get up there, and it's just like Jezebel.
Yeah, and you're like, oh no. Yeah. Because we always like if someone like with the pastors, which the people if they have a word, Jamie, what are you doing? Are you flipping me off?
No, I just gave you the same signal.
When people want to share, like they go through the pastors and we filter it, you know, and you know, yes or no, or say it differently or shorten it. And they're giving me rude hand gestures now. And I always think it's funny because, like, when someone gets up there and says something whack, I always look at the pastor who let him through.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
This is your
what
fault.
What did you do?
You whiffed on that one.
That's great. All right, guys. Our final segment for today is going to be Eric's Edumacation. This is where, if you don't know...
Reading rainbow, butterfly in the sky. Come on, boys. You can go twice as high. Am I doing this?
Take a look.
It's in a book. Eric's Edumacation.
Eric's Edumacation. That was awful.
Yeah.
This is...
So is what I'm about to say.
I bet. So if you don't know, Eric is in school. And so we figure, why not give you for free what he's paying an arm and a leg for?
Okay.
So this is where he shares something that he's been thinking about, or reading about, or learning about in his classes. And we just kind of get to discuss it, and I get to tell him why he's wrong.
Yeah. So funny, this is a special edition because this past week we were on Easter break, and so I actually got to – what does that gesture mean?
Nothing.
I actually got to read stuff that I actually enjoy reading. And so what you're getting is from what I enjoy reading, not what I'm being forced to read.
So this is your own edumacation.
This is my own edumacation.
Self-edumacation.
And it made me question why I'm going to school again because I was like, I had way more fun doing this week. but anyways,
it's for a sheet of paper, by the way, just
yes,
so you know.
Yeah, for a sheet of paper, but the Lord told me to. anyways, we're coming up on May. You know, it's the beginning. This episode's going to come out in April. It's actually April now. And, you know, we're getting towards, you know, graduation.
Yeah.
Students are graduating. And one of the things that's always talked about, especially around this time, is the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you look up on the graduation stage and you see little Jimmy and Susie and you're like, you think to yourself, this is the next generation. And then you see little Bobby who's drooling over his tablet to YouTube shorts. And he's like, and you're like, that guy's going to be a CEO one day.
That's right.
Of his mother's basement. and so there's all this talk about the next generation, and pastors are always tasked with sort of building this bridge between the older and the newer generations. Mm-hmm. And this is the phrase, and this conversation gets on my nerves. And the reason it gets on my nerves is because the conversation always starts with, we need to raise up the next generation who's going to, you know, not bow to the altars of Baal, and they're not going to fall victim to the things that, you know, this blah, 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 the things that
That sounds like a youth camp sermon right there, man.
That's the youth camp sermon.
By the way, listener, if you ever need to preach a youth camp sermon, here's what you do. You pick a character in the Old Testament.
Yep.
You read the story, read it loudly, and then you say, God is raising up a blank generation, whether it's Benjamin or Joshua or whoever. Yeah.
Just not Samson. Yeah.
And then you, right, not Samson.
No one wants the Samson generation.
Right.
Yeah,
I do. And then you have an altar. Then you have an altar call where everyone runs down front and saying, yes, I'm going to be a part of the Joshua generation, Gideon, yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah. So, that's basically like youth sermons in a nutshell. But that's like, that's what that sermon turns into. Like, we're raising up a Joshua generation. And why are we, Mike, this is the question. And this is why this topic upsets me. Why are we constantly having to raise up a new generation, mm-hmm. like that building from scratch, when the idea should be to set them on the foundation that you yourself have grown on?
Right.
Right? We're always starting over.
Yeah.
And so this got me thinking about the power of story. Like, what does the next generation need to be empowered to be who God's called them to be? Mm-hmm. And why is there such a disconnect between generations? And it's because we're not utilizing stories.
Yeah.
Stories are one of the most powerful forces in the world.
Yeah.
Our entire Bible, aside from the Pauline epistles, mm-hmm. are stories. And even in Paul's letters, there's stories of what he's done and what he's doing. But in the Old Testament specifically, the culture was based on stories. Like, yeah. you didn't just talk about, here's three lessons about, you know, having faith when, you know, it's hard to have faith.
Three keys to reach out to God when you're just not feeling it.
No. Well, let me
number three will blow your mind.
No. Yeah, let me tell you a story. Well, people are looking for the silver bullet. That's what they want. They want this silver bullet approach.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of preachers have sort of guided their messaging. Like, let me tell you these three things. And number three especially is going to be awesome. So hang on till the end.
Mm-hmm. Devils hate this one trick.
It's like you're doing, devils hate this one trick. And it's like a picture of a salami, and you're like, I have to click. What? You never seen those, like, that photo that doesn't have anything to do with the title?
Weird.
Yeah, just not salami. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Back to stories, though. And so there's always been this disconnect, but what connected Israel and what has connected humanity up until recent the digital age has been the stories. And mm-hmm. so I've been thinking, you know, the next generation doesn't need your criticisms. They don't need your pointers, even though some of those can be helpful. They need your stories, yeah. of God's faithfulness, because that's what Israel, and that's what typically, not just Israel, but all humanity has passed on to the next generation.
Yeah.
Their stories, and specifically in our context, the stories of God's faithfulness. And so in, you want to be a Joshua generation. In Joshua chapter 4, towards the end of the chapter, it's verse 20, it says, "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he'd done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us and until we had all crossed over." So what he's saying is, like, you know, the Lord had performed this magnificent miracle of mm-hmm. allowing the Israelites to cross the Jordan on dry ground. Take these stones from the Jordan and stack them up so that your descendants will point and ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Mm-hmm. And the problem is our older generations are losing their stories.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm looking at my millennial generation, who, what do we think a story is? We think a story is something you put on social media.
Mm-hmm.
The oddity, the irony of those stories is that they only last 24 hours.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So this reminds me, this is a great point. So write that down. That's just one of your good points you've ever had.
Thanks. It'll probably be in a sermon in May.
I'm sure. think about this. There is, from the end of Genesis, where Joseph is second in command of Egypt, right? They're making fun of me because I'm using my hands.
Are you twisting knobs?
No, this is just how I talk. must be some Italian in my bloodline.
Are you harassing me?
So at the end of Genesis, you know, is the idea of Joseph. They're living in the land of Egypt, all this kind of stuff. But the beginning of Exodus, it says, and actually, hold on, I can read it to you here.
You can read?
I can. Well, sometimes. It depends. If it's eighth grade reading level, I got it. But the beginning of Exodus, it says this.
It says black screen. Wow, welcome
it
to
says
Samsung.
Get a real Bible.
Welcome to Samsung. No, I'm just kidding. Get off get on Wi-Fi.
It's the Bible app. Okay, here we go. So this is Exodus 1:8. It says, eventually a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. Mm. That's the guy that starts to oppress the Jews.
Yeah.
That's the guy that puts the Jews into slavery.
He had no story.
He didn't know the stories.
No.
He didn't know how Joseph had come and saved Egypt, how a Jew had saved Egypt from the famine. He didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so that's why he enslaved the Jews.
That's so good. That's so powerful. I'm going to steal that text.
Take it.
But yeah, no, there's power. And this is what we're not passing on anymore.
Yeah.
We think that our idea of passing something on is wealth. Like, I'm going to pass my wealth to the next generation or to my kids. No, tell your kids your stories.
Yeah, so those are the real resources.
Like, or you know, or if you don't have children, like, you know, your mentors, the people that are younger than you in general, you know, tell them stories of God's faithfulness in your life because that's what they need. Because what this does is it points them to a reality that's bigger than you and helps them create their own stories with God.
If you don't have a good story, just make one up.
Just make one up. What do we call that? Evangelism. Evangelion.
I heard someone say some stories are evangelistic.
Evangelastic, yeah.
Evangelastic.
Yeah. What's that song?
It's the Christian school book fair.
That song we made up in India. I just lied for the gospel. I just lied.
You know, we're talking about how so many people are like, they just make stuff up in order to win people to Christ.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah, we were singing. We made up a
terrible
song.
Yeah. It was funny. But yeah, so what's your takeaway from that? Guys, tell your stories.
Yeah.
Your stories matter. And then when it comes to the next generation, it's easy to criticize them because they weren't raised like you. Maybe they didn't see the same challenges that you saw, but they are being challenged. And the problem is they have no stories to tell them how to overcome.
Yeah. Well, it's often quoted, but Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their
testimonies.
Absolutely. Why did you sing that?
Because I can't not sing that. We will overcome
by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Everyone overcome. Why did we sing
Scott
that like
Stapp?
Third day? I think.
Yeah,
because like that's how he sounds.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
But I
right
can't
there
not read that scripture without singing it.
That song's called Overcome, right?
Yeah. Is it? Overcome by Jeremy Camp.
Okay, yeah, it's a great song. But yeah, so anyway, it's the word of our testimony and not loving our lives to the death. It's not our like incredible pristine doctrine,
yeah,
right, that we overcome through. Although doctrine's important, but it's the word of our testimony, and that's what we get to pass down, and that's what secular culture is doing through entertainment,
yeah,
through movies and music. They're telling stories, and they are affecting what people believe through story.
Well, think about like the LGBTQ agenda.
Yes.
Right? It started off 10 years ago
That's right
with every Netflix show having a gay person on it. And
right.
But what that did, and I'm not knocking that because like there are gay people exist and that's a part of our life, but you started empathizing more because you saw them on the show. And then now a lot of the movies and stuff like that just have like fully gay characters. They're telling cultural stories. And I don't want to like, you know, say, you know, I'm not like trying to hate on, you know, LGBT community, but that's how like entertainment industry has like kind of told that story, is by making movies. And we're not, and your testimony is more than God delivering you from drugs, by the way,
right?
That your testimony can be the time that God told you to like helped you buy a car or, you know, buy a house or whatever. So.
Right. It took 15 years. So this is an article, it's by Pew Research, and I remember seeing this before. In 2004, 60% of Americans opposed same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
In 2019, 60% of Americans supported same-sex marriages.
Kind of flipped.
So it flipped in just 15 years, and it was through story. It was through movies and TV and music. There was an all-out push to say, hey, this is okay. This is what you should be all right with. Love is love.
Mm-hmm.
And it only took 15 years, which is incredible.
Well, and Christians, they have to tell more stories.
Right.
And even more like beyond, you know, the most important thing is you passing on your story of God's faithfulness to the next generation. But like, even in the entertainment realm, like we've kind of like had the same old tricks, you know, like, you know, Bible Man, and now they're recreating a lot of the, have you seen the new Moses, New Test story of the Old Testament on Netflix? I haven't watched it yet. But something like Chosen. Chosen's a great example. So Chosen has crossed that sacred secular boundary where people who are not even believers are watching Chosen because the story is told so well.
And it just released on Netflix. I saw it last night.
Yes. And so me and my wife, I actually haven't watched it yet. We're actually watching through the first season right now. But I was, because the problem is traditionally Christians and entertainment don't mix well. Like they make the worst, like we got Bible Man.
Well, and even there's so many people, there's a very prominent pastor, Vadi Bakum, I think is how you say his name.
Vadi Bakum, that's such a cool, it just, man, say it.
But Vadi Bakum. Vadi Bakum. But he says, I won't watch the
Avada
Chosen.
Kedavra. No, I'm
he says, I won't watch the Chosen because it breaks one of the Ten Commandments to make no graven images. I'm like, what? Like, so this thing that is literally bringing Jesus to the masses.
Yeah.
And yet he's standing against it in the name of doctrinal purity. I'm like, who have you gotten saved,
and
dude?
The people that are most critical of Chosen are not the secular people.
Yeah, they're the Christians.
It's the Christians who are like, well, that didn't really happen.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's
Jesus,
usually how it goes.
Do you understand that the parables that Jesus taught,
didn't really happen.
And he added things to them. A lot of them were traditional teaching stories that he would add something to.
Yeah.
You know, to add value to it, obviously. And so they're not, what do you want them to get up there and do the gospel verse by verse? And it wouldn't make sense.
Right. No, your exact parables, which is the primary way that Jesus taught, are not real stories. They're not factual. They are metaphorical, symbolic stories meant to prove a point.
Yeah.
Not to like, okay, so this farmer had this son and he went into this vineyard. It's not an actuality story that he's telling. We're trying to get all the facts right, but we're missing the truth.
Yeah. It's good.
So we just started recording this.
Every segue has been ruined this episode.
Yeah, what y'all don't know is we had a power outage in the middle, but thankfully it was in the middle of a break. So it's been a fun episode, though. Enjoyed seeing you, Jamie. All of your weird Italian hand gestures you've been shooting at me this whole time.
Even though I was late, unintentionally late, and have been for the last several months.
Are you sure your last name isn't Jamie?
Nanali?
Nanali.
Nanamati.
Nanali. Yeah, no, sorry. I talk with my hands, you guys. It's just a way to get the meaning across.
You're literally just doing sock puppet.
I talk with my mouth. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, guys, thanks so much for listening to
Not the Sermon.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is a production of Victory Fellowship Church in Thomasville, Georgia. Eric and Jamie can be reached at emailing notthesermon@gmail.com.
Father to the fatherless, defender of the little kids, gracious and compassionate.